Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Tonight, yes, you are now once again tuned into Are You, it's personal, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan, each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, on tonight, we have none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. will be bringing forth God's word on tonight once again. So we know that he always brings a powerful word from the Lord. So please get your Bibles, your pens and paper ready so that you will be able to follow along as we go through God's word together through this awesome man of God on tonight. We always open up with prayer. We're going to do the same thing on tonight. Before we go into prayer, we lift up our sister in Christ. She's requesting prayer on tonight. We don't need to know what the issue is because we know that God already knows what it is. And we know that he's already working on her behalf. Sister Tara Doss, one of the members of Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church. And also we want to lift up her cousin, Brother Rob Mitchell III. We want to continue to lift him up in his family. His mother is in the hospital. So we know that God is a healer. So we not only lift them up, we lift up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land on tonight in prayer that God would do what he does best. We know that he is the healer. So we're going to go to his throne of grace on tonight as we always do. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, is in the name of Jesus, your Son. Here we are, your children. We're coming together on one accord, touching and agreeing and realizing and knowing that you are God all by yourself. You have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. You are the great I am, the most high God. You are worthy of all of our praise. No matter what it looks like, no matter what we're going through, you're still worthy to be praised because we know that there is none like you. And we know that all power, again, in heaven and earth is in your hands. You are in total control at all times. We thank you that you are not like man. You don't get amnesia. You don't forget. You are a promise keeper. You're still watching over your words performing in the lives of your people for your glory in the name of Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, we come asking that you would forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land, even those that are yet to be saved, in the name of Jesus. We pray that you would forgive us all of our sins and our transgressions so that our work for you on earth would not be in vain. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace that you extend to us, even though we know that we don't deserve it, we can't earn it. But we thank you for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace, even on tonight. We thank you for allowing us to wake up and see this a brand new day that you have made. And then, Father, we come now and lift up our sister in Christ, Sister Tara Dorf, our brother in Christ, Rob Mentor III, and all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. We don't have to send you anywhere because we know that you're already there. So touch, heal, and deliver. Move into each situation that after you have moved, after you have healed, delivered, and set free, that you will be glorified. They will not be ashamed or afraid to be a witness for you and open their mouth and let the world know that it is you who have intervened into their situation and turned things around for their good, for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, Lord, we pray that you will move by your Spirit through your man of God, through your word, that should there be any listeners on tonight that's not saved in Jesus' name, even those that are incarcerated behind prison bars that are hearing this worldwide ministry on tonight, that they've opened their own mouth to confess their sins, and ask what must they do to be saved in Jesus' name. And once they're saved in his name, you would reveal to them what their God purpose is so that they will be able to fulfill it in the earth for your glory. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. So now, Lord, we pray that you help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in each one of us that you get the glory. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought. And it comes to us saying, and it's for me as well, for all of God's children. Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, be careful who you open up to. Only a few people really care. The rest just want to have something to gossip about. Now, we know that's the truth. So I'm going to say it again on tonight, the spiritual food for thought, for all of our consideration. Be careful who you open up to. Only a few people really care. The rest just want to have something to gossip about. Please take note that I do not own the copyrights to any songs or music played over this worldwide ministry platform. And I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase, james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Please take note that on this coming Saturday night, October the 20th, my first cousin, Pastor Norman King, and his wife, Teresa, First Lady of the Victor's Outreach Ministries located in Greensboro, North Carolina, will be doing a tag team message on this coming Saturday night. So you want to tune in and be blessed by God, what God is going to say through them as husband and wife. As a tag team message on this coming Saturday night, you want to tune in and be blessed by what God is going to say and do through them. So right now, before we bring forth Overseer Joseph E. Jackson with today's word, again, I pray that you have your Bibles, your pens, and people ready to follow along. We get ready to go to our music break. And following the music break, we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to none other than well-capable Overseer Joseph E. Jackson to deliver God's word, what God has given to him to share with us on tonight, that God would get the glory through his word. Enjoy the music break. yes, yes. No matter what we're going through, no matter what it looks like, no matter how the government is trying to act up and show out and be used by the enemy, we know that God is still in control no matter what it looks like. So that's why we have to give him total praise no matter what we're going through. We have to just realize that he is still in control. As my mother used to say, he sits high and he's still looking low. So right now we are so excited to have none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson, who is ready to bring forth God's word. And once again, I pray that you have your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready to follow along. Overseer Jackson, I now yield the mic to you.
Good evening. God bless you. We're certainly happy tonight to be with each and every one of you. We don't take this for granted at all. We certainly want to thank God for the privilege of being able to talk with people one more time. I just want to say thank you again for the opportunity that you've given me to be a part of this great ministry. I tell people Amen. All the time, God will put you on the heart and the minds of people sometimes that you don't even know, who will ask you to be a help to them. You can do so much for so many people, and people get selective amnesia. You can help them to get from nowhere to the pinnacle of success, and they won't even stop to turn around to offer you a hand and say, come help me anymore. They just get amnesia and go about their business. But I've learned that God will allow people to come from nowhere and will give you opportunities. What Brother Brown did, one day I've got a phone call, and normally when I get these phone calls and I don't know names of people, I don't answer the phone. Well, the Holy Ghost said, pick it up. And I picked it up, and he and I, we had a great conversation, and from that point on, we've been yoked together in this ministry.
That's
and
right.
I'm grateful, so grateful for this opportunity. I don't take this lightly, and I just want to tell you thank you. Father, we thank you. We praise and we honor and we glorify. We magnify your name. We bless you because you've been good to us all day long. You watched over us. You protected us. You kept us from hurt, harm, or danger. You're the angel of God. Heaven's army stand around us, God, and keep us from any stray bullets. You kept people from taking us down in any kind of way. You just were there. You kept us from danger, seen and unseen, God. We don't even know what you kept us from, but we're just saying thank you. We thank you for our life. We thank you for our health. We thank you for our mind. So many people, Father, are being deluded. This nation is in trouble tonight because delusion is all over the land. It has gripped the minds of people, and folks are just acting crazy and doing stupid. But we ask you now, look on us in the name of Jesus and help us through this crisis. Our nation is in trouble. It's in trouble. It's in trouble, God. It's in trouble. We've forgotten you, and you said the nation that forgets God will go down. God, we ask you now, have mercy in the name of Jesus. You told Abraham, and I'll never forget it, you told Abraham, if you could find 10 righteous people in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, that God, you would spare the city. You told Elijah when he thought that he was the only one left. You said you had 7,000, Father, who had not bowed their knee to Baal. You told us, God, that if we confess our sins, you would be just and right to forgive. We ask you to look on this nation. Forgive us of our transgressions. Have mercy, God. Look on Trump, and all the others who have come together to take this nation down. We ask you now in the name of Jesus to be with us. We ask you tonight that as we go forward in the word, you encourage somebody. Somebody needs a word from heaven. Somebody needs a blessing. Somebody needs to know you care. Somebody needs to hear tonight, I care for you. Somebody needs to know, Father, that in the darkest hour, you're yet there. When they can't chase you, they have to learn how to trust you. Look on them now.
Yes.
In the name of glory to God. Look on them now. God, anoint us to go forward in your power and in your strength. In the name of Jesus, rebuke the devil. Rebuke the devil. He that has an ear, let him hear. God, let them be teachable tonight. My. Glory to God. Have your way. Spirit of the living God, have your way. We can't do nothing till you come. And so, Father, it's less of me and more of you. In the name of Jesus, God, we pray and thank you. Oh, glory to God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
I was wondering what I was going to speak on tonight. There were two things that I had in my mind. I guess the next time we'll bring the other thing, if God permits. But we're in a difficult season right now in the United States, a difficult season. And we're in a difficult season in so many people's lives. I don't know about you, but I told you the last time, act like you know. Or at least I told one group, you better act like you know what time it is. Look around
yes,
and see the time, the signs of the time are pointing to the fact that Jesus is on his way back. Don't you let nobody tell you that the rapture is not real. It's real, folks. It's very real.
Yes,
Christians
yes,
don't talk about it anymore, but the rapture is real. And if you don't, yes, folks, say there is no such word in the Bible as rapture, and that's right. We made the word up in order to talk about the great catching away that we've read about in the Bible, where the Bible says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. One day and one day soon, God is coming back to take away his church. And the Bible says, and there the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and those of us that are yet alive and remain, we're getting out of here. Glory to God. We're taking the last flight, and we're going to meet him in the air before the beginning of the great tribulation. Don't you let nobody tell you it's not going to come. It's coming. Because if Jesus said, I'm coming like a thief in the night. He told you what a thief wouldn't do. A thief wouldn't tell you that he's coming to come and break into your house. But Jesus said, I'm coming back, and I told you I'm coming back. The only thing I told you was I didn't tell you when. So that's why you got to watch and pray. Glory to
yes,
God.
Sir.
I said something. If I don't say nothing more tonight, you got something. Glory to God. Oh, God, thank you. We're going to Psalm 28, a Psalm of David. We're going to read a few of the verses there. I'm going to talk about something that I think could be important to somebody tonight. It says, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me. Lest if you be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Lord, don't get quiet on me. Don't get quiet on me. When I call you, don't go quiet on me. Hear the voice of my supplication. When I cry, hear my prayer. When I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward the holy oracle, draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief in their hearts. Oh, my God, we live in perilous times. Let me read that again. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their heart.
Lord
give
Jesus.
Them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands, neither render to them their deserve. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word. And tonight I want to talk about in silent season. In silent season. Pastor, what are you talking about? There comes a time in your life when you will talk to God and you won't hear nothing.
Mm-hmm.
A critical point in your life. You go to God in prayer, and it seems like the prayer that you prayed hits the wall and falls back down. You don't even think God even heard you. We get to a place sometimes when crises have come, and we go to God and go in God to prayer, and it seems like he just has not heard. He seems as though there is no response. We'll look at a few people in a few minutes to see if this is real. One thing I like about the Bible, these ain't stories. This is reality. These people went through these things. And they went through their situation so that you would have a roadmap to learn how to deal with the circumstances that they dealt with when it comes against you, because it's going to come. Job says a man that's born of a woman is a few days, and those days are what? Full of trouble. You're going to have some heartache. You're going to have some trials. You're going to have some tribulation. Why? Because the Bible said when they come, they were patient. God is working a work in you. You've got to be able to understand what's happening when things come. But there could be a quiet. There could be some silent session, some silent seasons. You've got to know how to maneuver through those seasons successfully. You see, I learned something, and I want you to keep this in your mind. I learned something. I just want you to keep this in your mind. Glory to God. Let me see if I can pull it up here so that you can see. I saw something on the internet that blessed me. It says, when there is no evidence, what you are believing for is at the door. Like Peter from jail, can you trust him when you can't trace him? Did you hear what I said? Can you trust God when you can't trace him? The Bible says, in all of thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. But can you trust him when he takes you down a dark road and you don't know which way to turn? What was it? Mahalia Jackson used to sing a song saying, standing here wondering which way to go.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
In this world below. I'm standing here wondering, there's a fork in the road. I can go to the left, I can go to the right, or I can go straight ahead. What do I do? I ain't got no GPS system. What do I do? So I'm calling to God and saying, which way should I go? And there's nothing but quiet. Like the old song said, blessed quietness, holy quietness. Nothing but quiet. You don't hear nothing. But can you trust me when you can't trace me? When I began to look at this, I thought about my own life, and I have to tell God thank you, because in just a few days, the 31st of August, I'll have two birthdays. I'm like the Queen of England. She celebrates her birthday. I think she was born in June, but she celebrates it. She was born in March, somewhere around there, in the winter month. But they don't celebrate her birthday until May, a summer month, when they can have the great parades and all the other stuff. So she got two birthdays, but I'm like her. I got two birthdays, too, because in August, on the 31st of the month, I was naturally born, and I'll be 76 years old. And then a few days before my birthday, I will be 60 years old in the gospel, because twice in the same month. I was born twice in the same month. So when I look back over my life and I think about where God brought me from, I know there have been some silent seasons.
Yes, Lord.
I had to go through some trials. I had to go through some tribulations. And there were times when I would wring my hands wondering, do you hear me? Do you hear me? I'm like David now, God. I said, make haste, O Lord. I need you to get in a hurry. I know you told me to rest in you, but how can I rest unless I trust? And I can't trust unless you take me through. What did we used to sing? Take me through, Lord. Take me through, and I'll do what you told me to do. Take me through. Take me through. See, I love those old songs. And every now and then, when I'm in the preaching mode, God will put it back into my mind. But take me through. I'm yours, Lord. Anyway, you want to use me, I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm yours.
Yes, Lord.
And I'm yours. That's what the old saints used to sing. And they would rock and Daniel. They would just sing those songs till the glory of God fell in the room.
That's right.
But they're going to come some silent seasons. The question is, can you handle it when it comes? Peter, talk to me. Talk to me, Peter. I need a testimony from you. And I can hear Peter say, everything was going well in Jerusalem until Herod decided to take James and kill him. And because everybody was excited about it, Herod decided, I'm going to go get another one of the apostles and take him out. And so he had his soldiers go arrest Peter, took him to jail, locked him up, put him in the stockade and put him in stocks, bound him by his feet and by his arms, and then put 16 soldiers in strategic spots in the prison to make sure that nobody got to him. It was a dark season. The saints of God were upset about what had happened, and they knew that they couldn't do anything but Peter but pray.
Yes, Lord.
Do you hear what I'm saying? Prayer will change things. The saints of God got together. I don't know if they turned their plates down or whatever, but they went to God on behalf of Peter. And they cried to God. And I'm sure Peter was a little upset. They then killed John, and they're coming after me. Lord, they're coming after me. I'm locked up in a prison. I can't get away. I don't know what I'm going to do, God. Are you there? And there's nothing being said to him. But the thing that got to me about Peter was he trusted God enough to fall asleep. Now, if I was in jail and I'm hooked up to all of these chains and whatever, and I know the next day they're coming to take my head, I don't think I'm falling asleep that night. I think I'm going to be up thinking about, is there a way out of this madness? But the Bible says Peter fell asleep. He learned to rest in God because he trusted in God.
Oh, yeah.
And because he trusted in God, even though he didn't hear anything, the saint praying brought about his escape route. And you've got to realize that there's some people in your life and in your family, in your neighborhood, in your church, who are in their own prison. Some are sexually addicted. Some are emotionally addicted. Some are chemically addicted. Some got problems that you don't even know about. But if you would just take the time to pray, God in their silent season will bring about a breakthrough.
Yes, he will.
The Bible said Peter went to sleep. And round about midnight, something spectacular happened. The Bible says God sent one of his angels, didn't even tell us the name of the angel, one of the no-name angels. He said, go down to the prison where Peter is and get him out of jail. 16 people are guarding him. And the Bible said the angel walked past all 16 of them. They didn't even notice him. We don't know if they fell asleep or whatever, but somehow or another they were dazed to the point that they didn't recognize that the move of God was getting ready to take place. Even Peter was sleeping, and the Bible said that when the angel came to the door opened. The angel walked in and tapped Peter and said, get up and put your clothes on. Put your shoes on and follow me. Peter woke up with sleepy eyes looking at my dreaming. But he did what the angel said and walked out of the prison. And the Bible said that when the angel got to the main door, the door opened on itself. It had an electric mechanism like we have today. It just opened up. The angel didn't have to touch it, didn't say nothing to it. It just opened up. That's the way God is. When God's ready to deliver you, he'll do what he has to do in a spectacular way. And folks won't know how you got out of your situation. They were looking for you to go down. David said it. They're looking for me to fall out. They're looking for me to go down. But don't let me fall. Don't let me go into the pit, God. And the Bible said God raised Peter up, and they took him out of the prison, and the guards didn't even know it. And when they got to a certain place, the angel looked at him and said, now go to the place where the saints are. And it was at that point that Peter realized that it was not a dream, it was a reality. And if you've read the story, you know that when he went to the door and knocked on the saints' door, they're praying. Now, why are you going to pray and not believe God? Why are you going to pray and not believe him? If you're going to doubt, don't pray. But if you're going to pray, don't doubt. Why are you going to believe, not believe him? He knocks at the door, and a girl by the name of Rhoda goes to the door, looks out of the little keyhole and sees Peter standing there, and she's stunned. She walks back to the people and says, she doesn't even open the door. She runs back to the praying saints and says, yes, stop. Peter's at the door. He's at the gate. They stopped praying and looked at her and said, girl, you're out your mind. But you prayed for him. She said, I know what I'm seeing. You come to the door. The Bible says, but when they went to the door, there was Peter. Because God met him in his silent season.
Yes,
look at two other people. Here's Paul and Silas. They're on their way to prayer. And the Bible said they meet up with a young girl. She's got a spirit of divination. That's why y'all got to leave these fortune tellers alone. These people that have a familiar spirit, you got to leave them alone, because that girl followed Peter, followed Paul and Barnabas, and kept saying, these men are telling you about the glory of God, and Paul got upset. And one of the things I liked about what Paul did, he didn't rebuke the girl, he rebuked the devil in her.
That's right.
That's glory. Some of us got to come to the realization that some of the things that people are doing are not them, but the devil that's moving on the inside of them. You've got to have a spirit of discernment so that you can see what's really happened and rebuke the devil when you have to do so.
I'm a witness.
Bible said he rebuked the devil, and the devil came out, and she was no more good to her masters as a fortune teller. And they had Paul and Silas beaten and thrown into a jail. Here they go again, put them in solitary confinement, tied up their hands and their feet, but they didn't do nothing with their voice. And in their silent season, I can hear them saying, God, we were on our way to prayer. We didn't bother nobody. All we did was get the devil and release this girl. And now they've beaten us unmercifully and thrown us in prison. What are we going to do? How are we going to get out of this mess? But the Bible says something unusual happened. The Bible says they looked at one another and said, ain't no need of us sitting here complaining. Let's go to praising and magnifying God. Even in the midst of our trouble, God's been good to us. He got me to this place thus far, and I know what he's done in the past. And if he can deliver me in the past, he can deliver me now. What he's done then, he can do now. My God, say glory. If he did it before, he can do it again. Let's begin to look back over our lives and let's praise and magnify God. And the Bible said they began to sing songs and they began to praise. I can believe that one time Paul might have begun a song and Barnabas might have joined him in it. And then maybe Barnabas went into the prayer mode and Paul started another song again. But they did it so until the other prisoners in the jail heard them. They didn't cry, Lord, why you do this? They didn't cry, Lord, why you put me in this mess? But they began to say, we bless your name. We glorify you. We magnify you for what you've done. We thank you for what you've done in the past. And God, we know you're going to make a way somehow. We don't know how we're going to get out of here, but we're looking for you to make a deliverance move right now. Make a way, God. And the Bible says the other prisoners stopped what they were doing and listened to them praising and magnifying God when they should have been cussing. And suddenly, the Bible says God heard the prayer. God, he heard the prayer. The Bible says the earth is my footstool and heaven is my throne. I can imagine he stood up from his throne and kicked the earth and let an earthquake come about. My God. The Bible says the earthquake shook the prison and everybody in the prison was set free. Every door in the prison opened up. The shackles that were on them fell off. God! I've been a drug addict for years. Learn how to praise him. Oh, I've gone through a whole lot of issues for years. Learn how to praise him. And watch him send the mode of deliverance that you need. The Bible said it was so awesome until it woke up the jailer who had been, who has fallen asleep. And the first time I read this, I was 18 years old. And when I read it, I got excited because God revealed something to me. The Bible said it was dark in the prison. There was no lighting there. It was dark in the prison. The earthquake had opened up the doors, and when the jailer saw that the doors were open, he was scared for his life because he knew that they were going to kill him for letting the prisoners escape. And the Bible said he took a sword and got ready to kill himself. But in the darkness of the hour, Paul hollered out, don't hurt yourself. Don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. We are all here.
Yes, Lord.
In the middle of the darkness, God allowed Peter to Paul to see through the darkness to get to a man that needed to be saved. He said, don't touch yourself. We're still here. The Bible said the man came in and fell at their feet. And they preached to the man, and the man said, what must I do to be saved?
Yes,
the man,
Lord.
And took Peter, took Paul and Barnabas to his home. And everybody in his household was saved. That's because they learned how to praise God in their silent season. David, I need a testimony from you. I know what you did. You could be a rascal at times. I know what you did. And because you did what you did, you got in trouble with God. But the one thing that you knew how to do was to repent of your sin when you were found out.
That's right.
And David repented, but there was a time that came when David had gone and left Ziklag, a place where he and his family and the family of his men were staying. And the Bible said he went off to war, but he didn't leave enough people back home to protect those that were there. I don't know if the Bible said, we don't hear about any kind of contingent force that he left there to fight off any adversaries that would come. He felt comfortable. So he took his men off to war, but when they got to where they were going, they were told they weren't needed. And when they got back home, they discovered that their encampment had been raided. And in those days, when they raided the camp, they usually killed everybody in the camp. They would burn up the village and just kill you. They didn't care. Human life meant nothing back then. You better be grateful that you live in the time in which you live. But even now, life doesn't mean anything to a lot of people. They're shooting folks like mad now. It's almost like being back in the Wild Wild West. But David got back to the, on his way home, he saw flames coming up from his encampment, and everybody stopped for a moment and looked to see what in the world has happened. And I can imagine they began to run toward the encampment just to make sure that everything was okay. But when they got there, they discovered that the town had been burnt to the ground. They didn't see any bodies, but what happened was the Amalekites had come along and snatched away the people that were there and took them away because they were going to make slaves out of them. The Bible said that David and his men were so anguished about what had happened until they cried till they couldn't cry another tear. So don't another person tell me that men don't cry.
I know that's right.
Another person tell me that men don't cry. Jesus cried at the tomb of Lazarus, shed a tear because he had to break his back. Knew he was in the presence of God, but he shed a tear because he knew that he had to bring him back and that they were going to try to kill him again.
Lord Jesus.
Men do cry because the Bible says they cried till they couldn't cry anymore. And they looked at David and they wanted to kill David. David had to crawl away in his silent moment and ask God, can you help me? And there was silence for a while. But David persisted, and sometimes you got to do that. Jesus did it. He went on three times. He went three times to God and said, I don't want to do this. Can you help me? Paul turned around and told you, I prayed three times and asked God to take this thorn away from me, but God said, my grace is sufficient. You better keep on going. You don't. I like what the late LaShawn Pay said, well, go back and pray again. Before you let the devil win, go back and pray again. David went back and said, get me the ephod. That was a ceremonial dress that they, a ceremonial garment that they put on when they went before God and asked God to do something. And the Bible said he went to God and said, can I pursue and recover? And the Lord spoke to him and said, pursue and recover. And he went forward and got back everything he lost. God wants to tell somebody today, whatever the devil took from you, I'm going to give it back to you. Whatever the cancer, I'm getting ready to restore it. The years that they took away from you, the things that you lost, God's getting ready to do for you. Have done one more, Joe. Joe, we talked about you a little bit earlier. Can you give me a testimony? He said, man, you don't know. He said, I was considered to be one of the richest people in my area. And in less than almost, it seemed like 10 minutes, everything that was dear to me was gone. I lost my children. I lost my camels. I lost my donkeys. I lost everything. I was the Bill Gates of that time. I had money. I had wealth. I had position. Everybody looked to me. And suddenly, in just a matter of moments, everything I held dear was gone. My wife came to me when she heard what had gone on. She just moped for a while, and she looked, and she moped, and she looked. Then I got sick. Sores all over my body. Dogs had to lick the sores to give me a little bit of relief. My friends came to see me, and they took me through all kinds of changes because they said that this couldn't have happened unless I sinned, and I knew that I hadn't sinned, and I got upset. And I took to God. I went to God. Why did this come about? I heard my wife come to me and said, I can't take no more, Joe. We ain't got no more money. There's no finance. Everything that we had is gone, my children. I spent 90 months, Joe, in pregnancy. 90 months. 10 children, 9 months. I sat up when they were hungry. I sat up when they cried. I knew what every whimper meant when they cried. And I saw them grow up into woman and manhood. And my children are gone. And I've got to find 80 men to carry them to a grave. My God, what am I going to do, Joe? He said, and now you sick? How much more do you expect me to take? She said, you need to curse God and die. Job looked at her and said, sweetheart, I know you're going through. I'm not going to blame you like a lot of people are down through the years when they're going to talk about how crazy you were, but I know that you're hurting right now. And when you're hurting, you say things that you normally wouldn't say. You say some things that you might not take back. So you got to be careful, baby. I can't curse God. What should I say to him? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of God. Shall I receive good from him and not evil as well? I know who my Redeemer is. I know what he's able to do. I know what he can do. I'm going to trust him. I can't trace him right now. I don't know why I lost all that I had. I don't know why I'm sick, sweetheart, but I can't trace him. I can't see him. I don't understand. interesting. And it wasn't until the end, when you look at the scripture, Job said, now that I've gone through, he did something again. The three men that came to console him took him through changes, but the Bible said there came a point when Job had to pray for them. In the midst of his trial, Job had to pray for them. And the Bible said when Job prayed for them and they were delivered from their circumstance, then God stepped in on his behalf. Are you crying out for somebody else other than yourself?
I know that's right.
I know your condition is bad, but somebody out there is worse. Yeah, I've not been able to walk the way I want to walk because there's a disc that's dislocated in my back, and they want to go in and do surgery, and I'm not going to let them do that because I'm trusting God. But it's difficult sometimes to walk. The pain is excruciating. And yesterday, when I got ready to go to the doctor's office, the pain hit me so bad till I turned around. Like Paul, I got mad. I said, enough is enough. Enough is enough. And I put my hand on my back and I rebuked the devil. I told him to get out of my back. I don't know what's wrong with the disc, but you need to come back into compliance. Be where you're supposed to be. Do what you're supposed to do. But this pain got to go. In the name of Jesus, this pain got to go. And I want you to know God removed the pain because
you,
I became better with that situation. The Bible said, the fervent and effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. He said, he that is sick, let him pray. You can't always call for elders. You better learn how to talk to God on your own.
You better watch yourself.
I went to the doctor's office, and I found myself walking like I had not walked in a year. All I could do was tell him thank you. With every step I took, God, I thank you. Look at what you've done for me. Do you pray for other people? When you pray for others, God will release you in your dark season, what you're going through. What's bothering you? What you dealing with? Don't just ask God for yourself. Go to God on behalf of others. I'm looking now at this country. This country is in need of prayer. We're standing in the need of prayer. We've got to pray for our president. We've got to pray for the Congress. I put on Facebook today warning the Congress and warning the judges and warning the legislators that God is sick of those that are doing what they're doing. I gave them the scripture that said he's sick of what he's looking at. He's sick of the bribes. He's sick of the injustice that's going on. He's sick of it, and he's getting ready to do something about it. Our way of life is being challenged. You can't trust Donald Trump and the Republicans and all this other madness. The devil is using folks to turn this nation upside down, and folks are sitting there like ain't nothing going down. You better get out and vote, and you better learn how to pray. You live in perilous times. The Supreme Court just told you that you can carry guns in public. Are we living in Dodge City? You better learn how to pray. You better learn how to talk to God about the nation in which you live. When I saw the television just before coming down here to prepare for this message, I watched as different states are going through a drought. Whole rivers have disappeared in some states. They don't even know how they're going to generate electricity. They don't know how they're going to grow their crop. One farmer had to burn up the crop area because it had been scorched so bad, and then he had to sell off his meat at a low price, his cows at a low price. Don't you realize that if they don't have what they have, you ain't going to eat?
That's right.
Screaming about the prices in the store now? Wait till this goes down. You better learn how to pray. The hand of God is on this nation. Look in California and you see the fires that are blazing. Not only in California, but look over in Europe. Fires are blazing everywhere. Why? Because global warming is real. And you acting like it's nothing. You better learn how to pray. The Bible said the earth groans, waiting for the coming of the Lord. It groans. If it groans, you better learn how to groan. Lord, help us. We're in a dark season right now. Lord, help us. And we've got to look for God to come to the rescue. David said, I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. My God is coming from God. You can't rest in somebody you can't trust.
And the only way,
the only way sometimes God will put you in a trusting mode is to take you through a change. You know what? And I'm through. The Lord spoke to me one day, and see, people don't believe that God speaks, but the Spirit of the Lord does speak to you. He does speak. I've been one of the few people, and I've had God audibly speak to me. I know what it is to hear the voice of God. I mean, where he literally speaks to you like he spoke to Moses. I know what it's like. It's a frightening experience. But you just got to learn how to talk to him. You got to learn how to talk to him. Because he'll come to the rescue if you let him. He'll come to the rescue. I was going to tell you something, but the enemy snatched the thought. Snatched the thought. It upsets me because he did it, but he snatched the thought. But the fact is, God is a deliverer. And he will make ways out of no way if you let him.
I'm a witness.
You got some dark seasons coming. You got some dark seasons. But God's going to bring us through them if you just let him do it. But you got to learn how to praise him. You got to learn how to open up your mouth. If you got to go into your secret closet. If you got to cry the tears, God said he'll bottle up the tears. Just cry the tears. Let them fall. Lord, I need your help. I'm in a silent season. I need your help. Can you imagine what John the Baptist must have felt like? Here Jesus says that he was the greatest prophet that ever lived, but when he was taken and put in prison by Herod, sitting in a dark jail, He looks back over his life. He's a cousin to Jesus. He was the one that told the people on the riverside, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He was the one that leaped in his mother's stomach when Mary and Elizabeth met for the first time. He was the one that baptized Jesus. Suddenly, in his dark hour, he says, to somebody who came to see him, if you see Jesus, ask him, are you really the one that we were looking for? John, are we really the one that you were looking for? And Jesus said, go back and tell John what you've seen. Go back and tell John that you've seen the deaf hear. You've seen blind eyes open. You've seen the lame begin to walk. You've seen devils cast out. Tell John what you saw. Tell John not to worry. I know this is a dark moment for him, but tell John what you saw. I need you to go back and encourage him. And that's what somebody needs to do tonight. When you see somebody in trouble, don't knock them down. Don't talk about them. Don't put your foot on them. But go to them and tell them you can make it through this, baby. You can get through this trial. You can get through this tribulation. You can get through this dark season. Why? Because I've been there. Sometimes you may have to share a testimony and let people know, I've been where you are, sweetie. And
oh, yes, sir.
In your dark season, you can come out of this. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Now bless your people in Jesus' name, we pray, to depend on you and to trust you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Again, praise the Lord on tonight. Overseer Jackson, for that word on tonight, for such a time as this, a much needed word for the people of God on tonight. So right now, I have opened up the phone lines for anyone that's on the line. Did you have a question for Overseer Jackson pertaining to tonight's message? Or if you want to give him words of encouragement, the phone lines are open now. We only have a few minutes, so you can jump on in. The phone lines are open now.
Yes, that was a good message tonight. It was well worth it.
My church is having a
blank. Amen. Praise the Lord, Sister Mary Ann King from Greensboro, North Carolina. That was for you, Overseer Jackson. Anyone else? Anyone else?
I would like to say that I've really enjoyed the message, and I'm wanting to continue to keep it up. Keep praying, and God's gonna make a way for all of us. But we gotta lean and depend on Jesus, and I believe that He's gonna make everything all right.
Amen.
Talking like that, I'm gonna go to dancing.
You and me both. Well, praise the Lord on tonight. Anyone else before we close the line? Anyone else? Well, we want to say, we know that Sister Cheryl Dawson, who is a member of Peace and Good World Baptist Church, is on the line tonight, but she's under doctor's orders not to speak or talk right now, but we're going to be praying on her behalf. She placed on Facebook that she's in prayer. She's requesting prayer from the saints of God. So we don't know what the issue is, but we know that God knows what it is. So we're claiming
God
deliverance
knows.
And freedom and victory for her right now. Before we go off the line, anyone else? I just want to say to you on tonight, once again, we thank you for being obedient, and we thank you for sharing this much-needed word on tonight for such a time as this. And we pray that this word has not gone out void. He said God's words and his word will never go out void. It's going to accomplish everything that he set out for it to do. So I received this word, and I know that the listeners received it as well. So God was glorified through this word through you on tonight. So we're going to pray out for tonight. And don't forget to tune in this coming Saturday night. This coming Saturday night, my first cousin, Pastor Norman King, and his wife, First Lady, Teresa King, of the Victor's Outreach Ministries in Greensboro, North Carolina, will be doing a tag team message on this coming Saturday night. So you want to tune in and be blessed by what God is going to say and do through them on this coming Saturday night. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come thanking you for who you are. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a promise keeper. You are still watching over your word to perform in the lives of your people. We thank you that in everything we can give you thanks, glory, honor, and praise, because you're still worthy of our praise no matter what's going on. So, Lord, we pray that you would allow justice to prevail with Donald Trump and all those Republicans and all those that have the same mindset as him. We pray that justice prevail, that you be glorified, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. And, oh, God, we pray that you will continue to bless those that are being faithful doers of your word and not just hear us only all over the land, that you will be glorified through each one of us individually. And it's a corporate body of believers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, once again, know that I love you. And again, this is Overseer Jackson just said, and this word, this is true, because God's word said this, the fervent prayers of the righteous still availeth much. So I want you all to know that I love you, but guess what? God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. And on tonight, we're going to play our opening theme song for our closing song, because we are in a spiritual war. Until the next time, be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Might as well put your hands together. I got joy in my but I'm